Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Time now for Dan Issel and Louis Ribeau, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Dan and Louis.
Good morning, everybody. This is Issel and Louis, ESPN 680, 105.7, and the ESPN Louisville app. However you're listening this morning, thanks for joining us. And, of course, the first hour of the show is brought to you by Kentucky Tourism, KentuckyTourism.com. Good morning, Louis. How are you?
Are there any armed guards outside your house today, Dan?
No.
Okay, good. All right. So you're having a different day than a former president. That's good. Things going okay otherwise, though?
Yeah. Everything's going great.
I walked into this studio, and nothing in my life has smelled more like butt crack than this studio.
Well, I mean, Dan. We've said from the very beginning, there's nothing different between a gross fraternity house and the ESPN studio.
No, the fraternity house has a house mother. Avery doesn't do that stuff around here. Yeah, no, Avery doesn't do that stuff around here.
I just give them the look.
Yeah, she's not helpful.
No, I know exactly what you're going through. Thank goodness it doesn't smell like that here.
Oh, it's a whole thing. All right. We will have a Raising Cane's read today.
Ooh! Get the music ready, Avery.
True Crime Tuesday as well. They did trivia before we got on, Dan. And so Lee was besmirched needlessly by First Replay yesterday about his lack of people knowing who he is on this station. Avery, by the way, has the phone completely turned off.
I just haven't hit the buttons yet.
Okay. All right. The thumb's a little too big?
Lee?
I'm just...
He's one of the producers on the In the Morning show.
Oh. I thought that was James.
He does the later in the week, yes. Yep.
Okay.
You got the names right. And so Lee says, hey, I produce the Lou City games. Don't people know who I am? And then he said, so here's a question about me. I played Division I sports. What sport did I play? So immediately after mentioning Lou City, he says, I played Division I.
Mm.
And they're like, football?
Baseball? Take a wild guess.
Football? And they guessed football, Dan. My man's like, hey, I produce Lou City games. And Blank's like, he looks like a baseball player, doesn't he? That's great.
That's our boys.
That's our guys.
Yep.
Then I come in here and it smells like, it must be First Replay. I mean, it must just, is this what Strebel smells like? Dan, I can't tell. Like, I sprayed this, active probiotic surface cleaner that is apple and jasmine scent into the air. Avery can actually, like, back me up on this.
Yeah, I watched him do it the whole time.
I used it as an air freshener. It's disgusting. What are we doing in here?
And we need to get wallflowers in
here. It did not work. You are correct. Mm-hmm. We need a lot of things.
Yeah, we need to get some wallflowers in here. We'll make it smell better.
There are multiple spots in this.
Wallflowers?
Yeah, from Bath & Body Works. I'll get basic
air freshener
ones.
That's what they used to call me at the high school dances.
Oh, that's so sad.
That's stupid. All right, well, we're going to talk a little bit of roster construct because I think I think we do have to ask if John Clay is right about John Calipari's recent teams and their performances and how fans feel. We'll talk about Rick Pitino taking the St. John's job. Mel Kiper thinks four quarterbacks are getting drafted in the top five, Dan. Mm-hmm. We'll get there as well.
Yeah, I mean, that just shows how important that position is.
That's right. And then,
I mean, you'd rather take a mediocre quarterback than a defensive lineman who's going to have 15 sacks his rookie year.
Yeah, and then I want to ask the question: are we done with the early madness of the tournament? Often we love the chaos of the first weekend, but by the time we get to the Final Four, we want to know the names of the teams in the Final Four, last year being a perfect example of that. And so ask Dan about that as well. We'll have True Crime Tuesday at 11:30. You'll have to suffer through with us. And we have no sound. All right, so...
I mean, we have stuff from Walls and Haley, if you want that.
Did you follow any of that last night, Dan?
You know what? I actually watched a little women's basketball last night.
Okay.
Because after Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune, Prime picked out one of the worst movies I've ever seen. And so I scurried off to the upstairs and watched Colorado and Duke. That was actually a very entertaining game.
Women's game?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And then the very end of the Louisville game. And it looks like Coach Walls has got that team going in the right direction. I mean, they scorched Texas.
Yeah, and then there was some ugliness in the handshake line.
I watched that video like 20 times this morning alone.
And then I guess there was a big AH standing behind Jeff Walls the whole game, and then everyone in the Austin media felt the need to defend Texas fans. That's great. How about you do your job and shut up? Good Lord. Ugh. Man, oh man.
I love it.
437-9680 on the UPS Jobs Tech Line. Get those in today. Louisville baseball today versus Western Kentucky. They always play this game. 4:50 pregame, 5 o'clock first pitch on 93.9 and on the app as well if you are interested. Speaking of teams playing well at U of L, go check out Dan McDonald's squad over there. But do you want to start big picture or do you want to start with roster stuff?
You choose.
Okay, so I think the big picture stuff with Kentucky is I don't know that there's a lot of disagreement about this. I don't think there's any way to look at the last 3-4 years and be satisfied with the outcomes for Kentucky basketball. Frankly,
well, but I think yesterday, I do think yesterday you kind of said it's time for UK fans to temper their expectations a little bit. Did I take that wrong?
Oh, just change from you have to win a title or it doesn't. It's not good enough.
Hmm.
Because I at that point, then you're going to live a miserable existence in the modern game. And so for me, it more of like 9-16, by the way, not okay. I mean, not okay for a Kentucky, a Kansas, a North Carolina, a Duke, whatever. I mean, I think that missing the tournament more than once a decade or something at this level is not okay. At least giving yourself a chance should be the baseline. And then moving through the tournament is a different animal. But the 9-16, for example, not okay. Losing to St. Peter's.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. Yeah. But you know, I don't know that getting to the tournament and losing in the first weekend, I don't think that should be the benchmark.
Oh, benchmark? No, base baseline of what should be expected of a season is at least what I think what they did this year feels like what should be the bottom of Kentucky basketball. 6 seed, losing the round of 32 to a 3 seed.
Yeah.
Bottom. As opposed to losing to St. Peter's or, you know, because I'll ask you the question. Did they have a better season last year when they were a 2 seed? Oscar was the National Player of the Year, but they lost to St. Peter's than they did this year.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. No question. A 2 seed is always better than a 6 seed. I learned that early on in my educational
prep. Coach Rupp really stressed that. Yeah, right.
Yeah. That's the old joke about a recruit came in and Coach Rupp said, "Now I'm you know, this is an institute of higher learning. I'm going to give you a quiz. What's 2 + 2?" And the kid says 6. And Coach Rupp said, "I'm sorry, you can't play here." And Harry Lancaster, the assistant coach, came in and Coach Rupp told him the story. And Harry said, "What's wrong? He only missed it by 1." but I yeah And St. Pete, I mean, they had a really nice run. Kentucky wasn't the only team St. Pete knocked off.
Sure.
So, yeah, I would say last year was and also, Louis, I don't think they went into last year with the expectations that they had this year. I mean, they started last year. Nobody knew Oscar was going to be Oscar.
That's fair.
And so, no, I thought last year they had a much better year than this year.
Okay. Text coming down, you know, 8 titles in over 100 years, you know, I don't think we're that bad at math. No, it's not about the fan necessarily. It's about a program that won't hang Final Four banners. I just think that there's no sense of what else is out there as far as what a team can accomplish. And, you know, but on the same note, you can also say having lost 3 of your last 4 NCAA tournament games isn't okay,
yeah.
Right?
No.
2 years ago, not making the tournament is not okay. Losing to St. Peter is not okay. You know, having the returning National Player of the Year and not making the second weekend is not okay. Like, all those things are true, I think. And so, you know, just big picture going forward, you know, the concern is there are a bunch of different things here, and we talked about a lot of them on this show, or at least you and I in different ways. Just, you know, for me, the end of the empire just eventually coaches. It's hard to maintain a level of excellence. Just in general, there are very few coaches that have been able to do it. Even a guy like Roy Williams had to restart his clock by moving to North Carolina from Kansas, right? We've seen great coaches have to do that. And so that Calipari is, you know, in that range of the 10 to 15 year thing where it's just really difficult to keep it up. And then the landscape of the game changed twice since he's been there. The one and done.
Yeah. Yep.
And then the transfer portal, right?
Yeah.
And so it's an NIL stuff. It's completely
I would throw NIL in there too.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, the first part you referenced Clay's article, and the first part of the article is basically rehashing what's happened over the last 5 or 6 years. And then he says this isn't a fire John Calipari column. But he does later in the article, he points out something that I think is very important. And he says, in the end, what worries me about the current state of Kentucky basketball isn't so much what's happening on the court as what is happening in the stands or what is not happening. Mm. The number of empty seats in Rupp Arena this season was jarring. Television, an uninspiring home schedule, and ticket prices all have something to do with that. And I think he's right on the money there. And I think, you know, there are teams, Louis, out there that schedule really tough. And I think your alma mater's one of them. They really schedule tough teams in the preseason.
Izzo, out of 330-plus Division I basketball teams since he started 25 years ago, has been in the top 10 most difficult schedules over 20 times.
See, and I think that serves him well. I don't think playing 7 home games against teams that no matter how badly you play have no chance to beat you, I think that does a disservice to everybody. It certainly does a disservice to the fans who are paying big prices for those tickets. And I think it does a disservice to the kids. You know, if you – big deal – You get to the Louisville game and you're 12-2 or 10-2 because you've only played 2 teams that are any good and they both beat you. Mm. I don't think that serves the team at all. And so that's one thing I would like to see change. And that is not just these, you know, CBS classics and
sure.
These made-for-television events. I'd like to see him play a couple of teams, and I guess they've got one coming in Gonzaga next year.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to see him play some teams in Rupp Arena that give him a game and give him a chance to grow, not just pad their stat sheets.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. He actually, I mean, he touches on a lot of things. We're talking about John Clay's article in the Herald Leader. You know, I think the other thing, and if I missed it in the article, I apologize. He doesn't reference the relationship with Barnhart.
No.
And I think that schism in the athletic department at UK right now is as toxic as exists in the country with a high-level coach and a high-level program and its athletic department. And it is not I don't think it's culturally sustainable long term. I think that when you have players who are more connected to media and to fans than they ever have been, it's just not something that you can sustain over the long term. I think it's a really difficult thing to do.
Yeah. I just got a text from Miss Dill. My batteries are gone again. My batteries aren't. What's wrong with my batteries, Avery?
I didn't buy your batteries. Don't ask me.
Well, I mean, they're. It says guaranteed for 12 years in storage. Never mind. Okay, I'm going to click off real quick.
All right, so Dan's going to recharge those batteries here on Issel and Louie. We're taking you up until noon. Bobby V back in the saddle today on the V Show. Big day for the V Show. Little presidential arrest. Bobby V's back. Maybe they'll talk some COVID. It'll be a good day on the V Show. NCAA tournament, we will have you Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Sweet 16 begins at 6 on ESPN 680, 105.7, 93.9. We'll join at 7 o'clock. And then on Friday, of course, at 6 o'clock after the mixtape, we'll have you here on ESPN 680, 105.7, Elite 8 action. Same thing, 5:30 on Saturday, and then 1:30 on Sunday. And we will have Louisville Notre Dame baseball all weekend as well. So on 93.9, so be checking for all that. So if you are driving around at all this weekend, we will have your coverage here. And look, we're your exclusive play-by-play home in Louisville for the NCAA tournament. Texter, well, hell, UK needs to take Louisville off the schedule if they aren't going to make you any better. Texter, getting away from home and home is just another thing that is killing college basketball. The on-campus environment for college basketball is one of the two or three best things about college basketball. There's no question about it. It's different than any other sport we have in this country. That and college football, the two of them where you get that, you know, and football considerably more because you only get 5, 6, 7 games at home, whatever it is. If you're Kentucky, what is it, 9 games at home?
Yeah, and the students are so far from the field.
Yeah, but still, the marching bands and the whatever else, right? There's a about college football. It's a different, you know, the spectacle of it is different. But
right.
In college basketball, if the you know, like a Cameron or a, you know, up at Michigan State or in Indiana, whatever, where the fans are, you know, the students are right on the court. Purdue's a really good example of this. You know, you get that it's very different than other sports. And so the texture's right. Playing these games at, you know, where the Pacers play or where the Bulls play is just not the same as, you know, playing, say, in the kennel at Gonzaga or, you know, Rupp Arena, something like that.
So I want to get back to what you said, because I think it's a very important point.
Okay.
And that is the relationship between Cal and Barnhart. And that's not going to change. I mean, if anything, it'll only get worse because of the stance that Barnhart took. By the way, Sunday morning in church, the sermon was about not getting revenge, but giving grace. And during the entire sermon, all I could think of was Mitch Barnhart.
You were giggling thinking about this show during church, weren't you? There it is. Issel and Louie ruining Dan's life. There it is.
Where's the
gratitude? Where is it?
Where's the grace?
Hey, minister, I need some gratitude.
Mitch definitely drew that line in the sand. And he knows.
He made a 5-year decision.
Yeah.
With that one press conference, yeah.
He knows he can't get in an argument with Cal because he loses that. So instead of doing that, then he makes it very clear to everybody if a war breaks out, he's in Stoops' foxhole, and so that relationship is never going to get better. And we've talked about it before with Dwayne going to DePaul, and I don't know, he may dread the day he made that decision, but with him going to DePaul and young guys taking that spot. That'll never get better.
And Mike Pratt passing away. I mean, all of these things are absolutely factors. And so, it is absolutely part of it. And, you know, this is part of what I talk about. And I think people just, if you wanted to hear it as negative, that's fine. But that's what happens when you're at a place 10, 15 years. The people around you change. That happens everywhere. Happens in business, it happens in sports, it happens in, you know, medical practice. Like the people that work with my wife, who's a physician, are not the same as when she started. you know, a dozen years ago. That just changes. It's part of, you know, the natural flow of human relationships and people getting new jobs or moving or having children or, you know, whatever it is. And so for Cal to have been set up a very specific way the first 5 years and to have that support system a very specific way and to have the success that he did, then, you know, there's a sea change in how you acquire players. There's a sea change in how you can compensate players. And his support system goes away. All of those things are factors in this, right? It isn't that he necessarily changed as a coach. It's just that the things that propped him up, and I don't want to, if that sounds negative, I apologize, but I'm not trying to do that. But all leaders in high positions need, you know, systems that prop them up. If he lost those things, it's absolutely part of this. And it's just, it is just really hard to maintain that over a very long stretch of time. It's why when we talk about Coach K, we talk about him with such reverence, because that's really hard to do. Izzo's made 25 straight, you know, NCAA tournaments. That's really hard to do. And so, you know, for Bill Self to win a second title, you know, something like 15 years after he won his first one, it's not easy to do. Now, that's what you're hoping Calipari is able to grab and do next year, right? Is what Bill Self was able to do at Kansas.
Do you subscribe to the theory that Cal has not changed, that he's still doing things the way he did them when he first walked in the door at Kentucky, and is too stubborn to make the adjustments he has to make?
I don't, but only because I am now 42 years old. How I acted as a 30-year-old is different than how I act now. There's no way that John Calipari arrived at 50 and now is 62 or whatever it is, and is the same man and has the same amount of energy and has the same blah, blah, blah. He can't. He physically can't.
64.
Is he 64 now? Okay, so he arrives 51 or whatever. He's 64 now. I don't think – he's just not the same man. My sense is no. The players now are very different than when he started. Culturally, they've changed a huge amount. And so I would guess that he's trying to do things in a way that makes sense to him, in a way that, you know, is his quote-unquote way of doing things. But now you got to change those things over time. And frankly, he had assistants before, Dan, that he relied on a lot more than he does now. You know that.
No question.
And that is a big change that I think he feels even more isolated between not being able to rely on assistants within the athletic department. I think there's a lot of isolation that goes on. I think you see it reflected in the fact that he won't come on this show, where we are, I think, very fair to him. He won't do other media. And we gave him chances during the year to come on this show, for example, and just talk. And the public appearances have started to only happen during the summer, during silly season, right? And I think that part of him has really changed. He went from, you know, the train ride around the state and all those things to whatever it is now. So I think he's just older. So
yeah. The one thing I don't get is, you know, him not doing, him sending. It looks like at times, Louis, and I was very critical of him yesterday, but it looks like at times the only thing the assistants are there is to take his place in front of media. Mm. I mean, that to me, that looks like their biggest role right now. You know, instead of him facing the media the night before the SEC tournament starts, he sends Brewster out there, Bruiser or whatever his name is.
Brewster,
you know, I don't get that part of it. I mean, I understand he and I have very. I mean, our relationship is, you know, 1/100th of what his relationship was with Mike.
Sure.
So
sure.
He would come on this show when Mike was here. But I you know, I understand that. But maybe he just thinks, the way the last few seasons have gone, maybe he just doesn't want, you know, and he has the same old tired lines. You know, you don't have to make them all, but you can't miss them all. How many times did you hear that this year,
Dan? And that's why coaches reset the shot clock whenever they can. That's why you got Holtman leaving Ohio State for Notre Dame, just to reset the shot clock. They haven't heard his cliches. They're not tired of him in South Bend. They're probably tired of him in Columbus. This is why coaches do that. I got two things. I texted, I said, Cal reminds me of, Dan, of presidents who get a picture taken on their inauguration day, and then you see them at the next president's inauguration, and they look 100 years older.
Mm-hmm.
Cal kind of looks like that.
Well, that's one of the points of Clay's article this morning. He says the first thing he has to do is get healthy. He walks with a limp, suggesting another hip replacement is in the future. I don't know. I mean, he'd have to have some insight before he came up with that line.
You don't publish that without some... Exactly. I agree with you. Yes.
He had all but lost his voice this weekend. He appeared to be showing the effects of a long, frustrating season. And that's right on the money. Right on the money.
Yeah. And the other thing I would say is the approach of not being available to the public. And yes, the media is one way to do that. It doesn't have to be through the media, but it's the easiest way to get to as many people as possible. Scott Satterfield walked into this place last summer, Dan, with a couple of bottles of bourbon, and everyone bought in. And I'm not picking on anybody, but it's just, number one, it's true. And number two, it's just human nature. If you just show up, people are more likely to like you than if you hide. I mean, Tim Sullivan was on the V Show a couple weeks ago and suggested that Kenny Payne not do any media this summer. What a horrible idea. If he popped in twice a month for 15 minutes on the morning show or on Maven show, people would think about him very differently. Because it is one thing for us to have to replay sound from a coach's show that happened the day before in a very controlled environment with Paul Rogers, as opposed to him just being in here and talking. You know how it is. It's very different in studio than it is doing the show like this, right?
Well, and I would say this. It's also very different during the off season than during the season.
Sure.
Because you've got the pressure during the season, the pressure, no matter where you coach today, what level you coach at, the pressure during the season it weighs on you. It sits on your shoulders and it drags you down. And the minute the season is over and you can start planning for the next season, you actually become a different person. And I would argue that in the off season, Kenny, Cal, any coach is going to be a lot more forthcoming, a lot more likable, if you will, than they are during the season.
Sure. Man, I want to read that text. I can't read that text. 437-968 EPS chat. But it is interesting.
Texters, send stuff in. We can at least read on the air.
There are someone's just pointing out a notable example of someone who's not better when they sit down for an interview. That's true. But there have been people that I didn't like, Dan, who were in interviews, and then I was like, oh, that's their personality? They just have this acting persona for their show or for their political campaign or whatever. And then you peel back the onion and you find out that they're just a normal person, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so I think that happens fairly often.
And the texter's right. There are certainly, there are people that are just going to be idiots all the time. Yeah, you can point those out. But generally speaking, I think you catch coaches in the off season, they're going to be a lot more likable than they are during the season.
Yeah, so it's
I've got a great example of that.
Okay.
Jim Boeheim.
Yeah, yeah.
Jim Boeheim was a complete, I can't say the word, just an idiot. Short-tempered, gave smart-aleck remarks. And then after 4 or 5 days, when the retirement was, it soaked in, when it was obvious he was done coaching, he did a 5-minute interview on Pardon the Interruption. He was one of the most likable guys. I mean, he was a guy you'd like to sit down with and have a beer.
Right.
And I never thought that until I saw that interview. That proves our point. A guy that all season long for 4 months, 5 months, was the most unlikable guy you've ever heard interviewed. He's a good guy. He's a funny guy. And so
Oh, text line. I disagree with you about Jim Boeheim. I still don't like him.
if you saw that interview, you may still not like him.
Yeah, right. But you
kind
of get
guarantee,
it. Yeah, yeah, right.
I guarantee you, you'd have a little different opinion of him.
Yeah.
If you saw that interview,
I think. Never mind. It's not a great example, but yeah. There are people that have just done interviews where I thought, that I wouldn't like them going into the interview, and then all of a sudden I was stunned at, like, oh, the reasonable humanity of this person is coming out now. And it's, you you know, opposite of what I thought about them. So, all right. Well, on the other end, we'll talk. I really am interested in it because I kind of had to hurry through this. I had to help my wife with something this morning. I had left Patino off the show sheet. Dan made sure Patino was on the show sheet.
Oh yeah, that was the biggest news. That was the biggest news yesterday.
So we'll do that next. First hour of the show brought to you by our friends at Delta Dental and Delta Dental of Kentucky. Delta Dental.
No.
Oh, it's Kentucky Tourism, isn't it? Thank you for yelling at me. Do the read, Dan. I'm out of here.
When you're ready to explore the outdoors, there's no better place than the Bluegrass State. Hike, bike, paddle, fish, or even venture deep underground. This is Kentucky. This is KentuckyTourism.com. Come see for yourself. Plan your getaway today at KentuckyTourism.com.
This segment with Dan Issel and Louis Rabeau is presented by KentuckyTourism.com.
All right, welcome back in. As the man said, we're presented by KentuckyTourism.com. How about that? Follow them on socials, Facebook, Instagram, other places. Lots of beautiful pictures from around the state. Good friend of mine heading out to Red River Gorge this weekend. He checked out KentuckyTourism.com before planning that trip. Find all the local attractions in that area and things to do. Frankly, ways to save money with your family, KentuckyTourism.com. We are deep in the bracket challenge, Dan. I think if I were in the ESPN Louisville one with the over 4,200 that were entered, I would not be in the top 70 or so. A reminder from our friends that helped us out with the bracket challenge prizes: Steepleton with the Gorilla basketball goal, RGB Home Theaters with a TV, passes to Bourbon and Beyond Louder Than Life, Adam Sandler tickets, that tailgate gear from Cox's and Evergreen Liquors, VIP experience at the TBT, Lou City and Racing prize pack, and gift cards from our advertising partners. The Bracket Challenge is presented by our friends at Kentucky Fish and Wildlife, KellyKentucky.com, Seven County Services, and Cox's and Evergreen Liquors. I'm going to have a visit from Kentucky Fish and Wildlife at the house, Dan.
All right, to get rid of the deer?
At least one of them. A little food for the fall. How about that?
Can you do that?
Yeah, I have enough land in Kentucky, actually. Yeah, how about that?
Oh. How are you going to shoot him?
I'm not. Someone else is going to take care of that for me. It's an expert kind of thing.
Do it with a bow and arrow. Well, give the deer a chance.
Well, I think it's going to be something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, well, let's talk Rick Pitino. So the worst kept secret in New York, Rick Pitino taking the St. John's job.
Let's start there. Let's start there, Louis. After he gets beat by 24 points by UConn, who ironically is in his new conference, after the game they asked him about the St. John's job, and he said, "I have no idea. I haven't even thought about it."
Who do you believe more, Rick Pitino saying?
The truth and Rick Pitino seem to be mutually exclusive, don't they?
Do you believe Rick more that he hadn't thought about the St. John's job or that Cal has never seen a player at Kentucky who was injured?
Well, I'd say going on past performances, as we like to do. Now, I have a friend who graduated from St. John's, who played baseball and basketball at St. John's, who still is very closely tied to the St. John's athletic department. He told me last Thursday it was a done deal.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I heard around the same
time. And so to come, I mean, why do you do something like that? Why do you say, oh, I haven't even thought about it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I'll be back at Iona or if I'll move on.
I agree. St. John's a great job with a great history. You know, I love New York, but, you know, Iona's been great to me. Next question. It could be that simple.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, especially when it was, by all accounts, it was a done deal. But anyway, everybody seems to think that this is a great move for Rick and for St. John's, and I agree.
Okay.
I mean, he must have gotten – he must have gotten some assurance that there's going to be enough NIL money there, and with his relationship with the New York area and his reputation in the transfer portal, he should be able. Now, it's not going to be easy. I mean, and by the way, I misspoke yesterday.
Okay.
I said the SEC was the only conference that had three teams left. And the Big Ten, the Big East does too.
Yeah.
You forgot about
Creighton, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I have such a hard time putting Creighton
and Xavier
in the Big East. Right. But yeah. Creighton has, or the Big East has three teams in the Sweet 16.
I mean, we talked about it with Bryce Hopkins before the game with Kentucky. Anyone who talks down to the Big East right now in basketball is not paying attention.
Right.
Right. Right. Go ahead.
And so, you know, it's not like he's going to go in there, reload, and dominate the Big East. But he certainly has an opportunity to bring this program back to where it was at least relevant before a long list of bad coaching hires.
So they asked on First Replay yesterday who gets to a Sweet 16 first, Pitino at St. John's or KP at Louisville, and I think you should add a third team in there who has lost three of their last four NCAA tournament games with a mixed in 9-16 season, and that's Kentucky. Of those three teams, do you expect that Kentucky, with their class next year, gets to the Sweet 16?
Yeah, yes. Okay. I would say so. Okay. And for the other two, it's a very interesting question because both teams, and also on the show sheet, we'll talk about the roster rebuild at Louisville. And they ain't there yet. I hope there's a couple of other studs that they plan on bringing in, because if they're counting on Hatley Brinkley Okafor as being their two big guys, I think they've still got a long way to go there. But
We'll get there in a minute. Yeah.
That's interesting. That's an interesting question because, as I said, the Big East is tough. I don't know who I would say gets there first.
Okay.
I guess Rick, but I'm not totally convinced.
I didn't realize it had been 31 years since Karnisecker retired at St. John's. 31.
Yeah. Well, he didn't retire. Well, I mean, he went and coached the Nets.
He stepped down and, yes, excuse me.
Yeah, he moved on.
He left St. John's, right, yes.
Yeah.
They've been to two Final Fours in its history, reached just three NCAA tournaments since 2002 at St. John's. Pitino has not only won two national titles, but has coached in 23 NCAA tournaments. The coaches that have been at St. John's, Mike Jarvis, Norm Roberts, Steve Lavin, Chris Mullen, and, of course, most recently, what was Anderson's first name?
Mike Anderson.
Mike Anderson, thank you.
Yeah.
And it's not like they were hiring bad coaches. It just hasn't worked for St. John's, right? So that's the other part of it that's interesting. So,
yeah, there's a couple of people. I don't know about Chris, but Mike Jarvis and Steve Lavin were really good college coaches.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Mike Jarvis is a really good coach, actually. Yeah.
Right.
A question for – did you see the Lou Carnesecca quote? He's now 98 years old. People asking about how St. John's could hire Pitino despite past transgressions.
I did not.
Okay. We'll see if Dan thinks this is funny or not. Quote, "It's very simple. That's why we have confession."
Well, you know, I was he's bringing luggage just like Prime, only his luggage isn't Louis Vuitton. The best thing, and I don't know if we want to go back and rehash this, but I was thinking about it this morning. What was that short-lived committee that the NCAA put together to hand down punishment?
IARP.
Yeah, IRAP. the biggest break, and Rick said he feels vindicated. Well, I don't know if you – and here's another interesting thing. In every story I've seen about this hire, nobody mentions that his championship at Louisville has been vacated.
You're right.
They all say he won two championships. Nobody says that no, he didn't. He didn't win a championship at Louisville. So he hasn't been completely vindicated. But the best break that he got was when Louisville decided to go in that direction. And we talked about it at the time. This committee, they put this committee together, and I'm sure this committee is thinking, well, we can meet, listen to some testimony, read some documents. There's an NCAA guy in the room who's going to tell us what to do. And so we'll make a few bucks, and this will be easy. And then Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh tells the NCAA, you not only lose the NIL case, don't bring any more of this stuff up here.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
stop.
Yeah, don't even come up here anymore. And at that point, IRAP realizes they are not insulated from any legal action against them. And at that point, they weren't coming down with anything. I still remember we listened to when they gave the ruling on Louisville, and the members of the committee, Louis, introduced themselves. And instead of saying what company they represented, they did not name the companies. Like, for instance, Miss Harriet Brown, I am CEO of a tech company. They didn't say, this is Miss Harriet Brown, I'm the CEO of ABC Tech Company. And so they were scared to death. And because of that, they didn't punish anybody. Not only Louisville, they didn't punish anybody. And so Rick can be real thankful for Louisville going that direction instead of going straight to the NCAA.
Yeah. The vindicated part is what makes it Rick Pitino.
Yep.
So speaking of Big East, Ed Cooley leaves Providence to take the Georgetown job. Is Georgetown still a better job than Providence?
Well, and Cooley's from Providence.
I know.
When he got the Providence job, he said, this is my dream job. And he's leaving his dream job to go to Georgetown? Now, his job compared to Pitino's job, I mean, it's like 100 times harder, don't you think, to rebuild the Georgetown program than the St. John's program?
Yes, for sure. I don't understand this move unless you just
don't want to
live in Providence anymore.
They had to pay him. Yeah. I mean, they had to, 10 times his salary at Providence.
Yeah, I don't know. UMass, Dartmouth, and then Stonehill College, where he went to college, is where he started as a coach, and then he spent a year as an assistant at Rhode Island before going with Al Skinner to Boston College for a decade as his assistant. Man, have you ever I don't know if it was on TV or if it was an article. Who was with the Boston Globe forever? Ryan. Bob Ryan.
Yeah.
Bob Ryan gave the most scathing take about Al Skinner when he left Boston College. He called him lazy. He said something like he shows up at 1 in the afternoon and he leaves as soon as practice is over. He's not doing – I mean, like, just ripped into him for how he treated Boston College basketball. Can you look that up, Avery? Bob Ryan rips Al Skinner. Can you look that up for me? I want to see if it's a video because I think he wrote it. But Dan, I'm telling you, it is one of the all-time sports takedown pieces. He clearly waited till the guy was going to retire or he was fired or whatever. But man, he totally laid into him. It's an all-timer if people haven't seen it. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
It sounds like there must have been some personal.
I also think that's part of it. Yes.
maybe Al didn't realize who Bob Ryan was.
Yeah. man.
I think Ed Cooley's got a real job ahead of him.
They haven't been over 500 in the Big East since 2015.
Right.
Yeah. Bob Ryan, the smiling Irishman, coming down on the text line. The guy who labeled first take first replay texts in once in a while. I'm glad to hear from him. But the Patino thing, do you expect him? What kind of success do you expect, or non-success, Jan, for him at St. John's? If you had a prediction, what is the furthest in the NCAA tournament that Rick Pitino goes with St. John's?
Oh, I suppose he's got a shot at the Sweet 16.
Okay, second weekend?
Not next year, but...
I'm saying over the 6 years. What do you expect out of...
That's the most unbelievable part, Louie. At age 70, he signs a six-year deal. That's terrific.
So, Dan, you're 74. Do you feel comfortable signing a six-year deal in anything?
I'd sign any deal if they gave me as much money as Patino's going to get. Are you kidding me? Absolutely.
If people don't know, we only have a three-year deal on Isla and Louie. It's a very different contract package that way. Yeah, it's very different.
There is an opt-out if I pass away, isn't there?
Well, Sherry's just got to take over the show. So.
That might be a better show.
Texter asking, do either of you have a dream job? I have said this on this show before. I was the guy in my when I was a little kid, 3-4 years old, making fake radio shows into a cassette tape recorder. So yes, I have dreamed about doing this my entire life. Essentially, it only took.
I've had my dream.
Yeah,
I've lived a dream my whole life to be able to play basketball for as many years as I did, and then be involved in it on to different degrees. I've had all my dream jobs. If I had a dream job right now, Louie, okay. It would have nothing to do with basketball.
Okay,
that part of my life is over. There's a lot of parts of my life that are over. But if I had a dream job today, it would be something in the thoroughbred industry.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to do.
Well, you're gonna be a key component of covering Derby 149 this year, Dan. How about that?
There you go.
Yeah, buddy.
There you go.
Did you find anything? Okay, all right. So it must have been an article. I'll find it. We'll read it in the 11 o'clock hour. It is, I guess Bob Ryan ripped Pitino when he was with the Celtics too. So. Texter, I think this is a reasonable point. There was no Georgetown basketball program before John Thompson, and there hasn't been one since he left. Sometimes we grow up with something being great. We assume it's always been that way and always will be. Boy, that sounds like I texted the show, doesn't it?
Yeah,
exactly. It sounds like something I would say. Like people just assume these things won't go away, and it just, man, I, yeah. Texter asking, what is Avery's dream job? Is it coroner?
Okay, so not a coroner, but dead bodies are pretty cool. So I wanted to be a producer for the longest time. Hmm. And I wanted to eventually end up at ESPN.
Sure.
So I'm starting here. So I basically started my dream, like, right off the
bat.
There
you go.
So now I have to create all new dreams. And
well, maybe like TV side or something? Or
the next one is to go to law school and become a broadcast legal analyst.
I like that.
Yeah.
Mm.
It like works out. Combine everything. Yeah.
You could go to one of those online law schools, those shady ones.
I don't want.
Sounds like you.
I would never attend
a little shady law school.
Nah, I would not attend a shady law school. There are a few that are.
Does the University of Phoenix have a law school?
They do, but it's not fully online. So I wouldn't.
It's not online.
Yeah, okay, no, they may be a hybrid. There's only like 10 schools, I believe, that are fully online for law. But I want to go to U of L's Brandeis School of Law.
Do you know what Louis Brandeis is famous for, Avery?
He was a judge.
What kind?
Supreme Court.
Okay, and what was his famous, what was his, like, biggest sticking point? What was the thing he cared about the most?
Oh, I know this one. And I just can't think of it.
I wonder if Jan even knows
this. He's buried on campus.
I know. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I heard a couple years ago they were thinking about changing the name of the school to just the University of Louisville College of Law, and I was like, that would be the dumbest thing you could do.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
So
great. Yeah, right. Yeah. Privacy, he's a big privacy advocate.
Yes, yeah. I remember
that.
Yeah,
big privacy advocate. Interesting guy. So,
wow, he'd be good to have around today.
No kidding. Oh, man. All right, so I actually, someone sent it to me. the Boston.com article. And we got 5 minutes here. You could see and feel it coming, Bob Ryan wrote in the Boston Globe. The Boston College basketball program was heading in the wrong direction. The ACC is no place for mediocrity to become the norm. Something was just plain wrong with BC. This year's team, while no top 20 group, was woeful underachiever. Mysteriously, there were no first-year recruits whatsoever, which certainly ties an NCAA record. People had a right to ask what was going on up there at the Heights. Yup, Al Skinner had to go. He had to go because he wasn't going to change. Al's 57, completely set in his ways. His modus operandi had become successful for 22 years and 385 wins, the last 247 of which were at BC, which makes him the winningest mentor in BC history. But it was clear that even darker days lay ahead, and the athletic director had to take action. Al is Al. I had to smile when I saw that St. John's was interviewing Al. Doesn't St. John's understand that Al is the least hardworking guy in show business? That in the world of Division I college basketball, there's absolutely no one like him? In a world of 24/7, 365 basketball zealots, Al is Mr. Casual. Al works Al hours, arriving around noon, playing some pickup ball, and going to a practice that more than likely has been planned by an assistant. Don't they know how infrequently Al is seen on the recruiting trail during the offseason when games are really won and lost? Don't they know that if you hire Al, you must supply him with a first-class recruiting assistant, one who totally understands Al's likes, dislikes, and peculiarities? Don't they know when it comes to offense, Al is inflexible? So yeah, it just goes on and on and on. So
that is a hit.
Boom. Yeah, right. So, or Avery, you could become the next Nancy Grace coming down on the text line. Avery, do you know who Nancy Grace is?
I know exactly who she is, and no, I will not become Nancy Grace. You go sit down. You go sit down and be quiet.
Oh, man. The Bob Ryan piece is great. Show up at noon, play some pickup ball, and go to a practice planned by someone else.
You know, Al was a really good player.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he. Okay. I think he played for. I'm sure he played for other teams, but he played. He played for the Nets for a while. It might have been on the Nets 76 ABA championship team.
He averaged over 9, 3.5, and 2.5 in his career as a shooting guard. And he played. Wow, he played a long time. 7 seasons. Yeah, pretty good. So, his best numbers, let's see if we can find Al Skinner's best numbers, because that's what you get today, people. He had a season where he averaged 15 points with the Nets, as Dan pointed out. This was once they were in the NBA, 77-78.
Yeah.
So, he went for 15 and 6.5 a game. That's pretty good. So, there you go. Well, Al Skinner slander on a Tuesday. How about that? Will there be a Ricky P. article like that written in the New York Post in 6 years? My sense is no. So you're saying Sweet 16, I think he can absolutely be a Final Four coach at St. John's.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we talked a lot yesterday. I mean,
Jerome Tang has a Harlem native on his basketball team in Noel and in Manhattan, Kansas. If Rick gets a couple of those guys to stay in New York, they'll be fine.
Yeah. But as you said, as you talked about a lot yesterday, we both did, that, the college basketball has changed. I mean, there's you're not going to get anybody who just is a constant Elite Eight or Sweet 16 team. That isn't going to happen anymore. And you know what's amazing is it's happening in women's basketball, too. Remember, there was a time, Louie, where year in and year out, the Final Four were the four
number one seeds. No question. Yep.
And just like the men's side, the women's side has already lost 2 number one seeds. So it's happening. It's happening in all of college basketball.
Yeah. Thank goodness. By the way, the sport is better when it's unpredictable. So
absolutely.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, the first hour of the show, believe it or not, is presented by our friends at Kentucky Tourism and Kentucky Tourism.
Yes!
Check them out on all the socials, Facebook and on Instagram. A bunch of great pictures from around the state. If you're planning anything this spring or anything this summer, please start with our friends at KentuckyTourism.com. Check out all their options for road trips, maybe the Bourbon Trail, retired horse farms with your family. All those things available at KentuckyTourism.com. On the other end, U of L's putting a roster together. Obviously, Dan, more of a fan of KP than me, but we'll talk about it next here on ESPN 680 105.7.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition, and I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
"Come on, muscle through it."
But then also say,
"Hey, you should probably see my specialist."
Or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start, before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.